Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome in to Sports Talk on a Tuesday afternoon here on WWL. I'm Mark Menard, in for Christian Garrick today. Bobby Hebert is here. The Cajun Cannon is going to sound off on a number of different topics as we roll through the afternoon. Here's what we have on tap for you today. Coming up this hour, we're going to have Kyle Peterson. He is with the SEC Network and ESPN. He's going to weigh in on LSU baseball and their playoff chances after they take one out of three against Arkansas over the weekend. They have another big series coming up this weekend against Auburn. We'll see what he thinks the Tigers' chances are of qualifying for a regional. At 5:20, we'll bring in Kurt Heelan of NBCSports.com, focusing on the NBA. What do the Pelicans have to do to bolster their playoff chances as they try to make it into that play-in game for the top 10 seeds in the West? And at 6:30, we'll talk Tulane baseball with Coach Travis Jewett. This hour, power rankings are in. The verdict is in for the teams across the NFL after draft weekend, and the Saints have slipped a few spots in a bunch of these power rankings. So we want to ask you on the Oakland Heart Talk and Text line, what do you think the Saints' chances are now that the draft is in the rearview mirror and you know, the season is almost upon us? You know, we've still got to get through training camp in the summertime, but it's going to be here before you know it. So what do you think the Saints' chances are this coming season? And do you think a drop in the power rankings was warranted for the Saints? Was it a lackluster draft in your opinion? Did the Saints not do enough at the quarterback position? Are you not sold on the team of Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill? Whatever combination the Saints might use of those two. That's what we want to know from you on the Oakland Heart Talk and Text line. And as always, we'll start off with what the Cajun Cannon thinks about the situation. Bobby Hebert bringing you into the conversation now. What do you think about the Saints' offseason so far? Have they done enough to remain a contender?
Well, I think pre-draft, post-draft, what do we rank? What would they have us, like 10?
10th.
Oh, well, to me, before the draft, we should have been 10, and we would stay at 10. Are we bringing Aaron Rodgers to the Saints?
If you want to check, we are not.
Yeah, if you want to be in the top five or four, and it would be Super Bowl or bust if you add to this roster Aaron Rodgers, but I don't think Green Bay would want to do that, being an NFC opponent. Now, listen, Aaron Rodgers, you could go through all the lists, and Aaron Rodgers would be that much a difference maker when you look at rosters. You know, we talked about the Dolphins. You look at the Broncos. You know, he said he wanted to go west. I think the 49ers don't give up all those picks, even though they look into the future, if they could have landed Aaron Rodgers. So I think 10's about right. You know, in the past we said Super Bowl or bust. I think it is playoffs or bust. I still think we're a double-digit winning team. What I mean by double-digit is getting to 10 wins, not necessarily 11, 12, 13-type wins, but I could see what an additional game would be a 10-7 type team with Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill, the combination of that at quarterback, because I think that's the direction we're going. But Aaron Rodgers is that much a difference maker. So if you want to do pie in the sky, in theory, you had Aaron Rodgers to the Saints. Yeah, we back to where we were with Drew Brees, Super Bowl or bust, even though we're not as solidified at the cornerback position like we were in the past with Lattimore and Jackrabbit. But like you said, I don't see Green Bay doing that because even though Mr. Love, Jordan Love, even though they drafted the quarterback of the future, boy, they messed that up. You know, because you got to communicate with your franchise-type quarterback. And truly, Aaron Rodgers is not only a franchise quarterback, but he has that kind of impact at 37 years of age. Considering the success Drew Brees and particularly Tom Brady has had in late 30s, early 40s. So, I mean, you think Aaron Rodgers is not going to be relevant the next, I'm going to say more than 2 years. I'm going to say the next 3 or 4 years. If Aaron Rodgers wants to play, he's still amongst the best. I mean, it was last season, 36 years of age, he was the NFL MVP. So when you truly look at the power rankings and where we're at, no, I think the nation views the Saints as a playoff team. Now, it doesn't mean we're going to win the NFC South again. No, that's hard to do. We have won it 4 years in a row. No one has won more games than the Saints the last four seasons. But to say we win the NFC South again, how can you say that, considering how you're trending, whatever you've done for me lately? I know in the regular season we whoop the Buccaneers by double digits to kick off the season. Then we whooped them in their backyard, but then what happened in the playoffs? And all their players are coming back. So I would say right now we play the Buccaneers with Aaron Rodgers, with Jameis Winston, with a Taysom Hill, whoever it might be, that if we would beat Tampa Bay, it's an upset. Considering, I don't know if they're going to repeat. It's hard to do. But there's one reason why all those players came back to Tampa Bay is because Tom Brady's still on the roster.
Bobby, you say that the Saints should still be a playoff team even if they're not still Super Bowl contenders. So in the power rankings, they're sitting at number 10 overall, but in the NFC, they're listed sixth out of the top teams.
So that means they're still in the playoffs, wild
still
card.
In the playoffs. Right now, they have Tampa Bay at number one overall, obviously.
I agree with that.
And you know, I no arguments from me. Then you have Kansas City and Buffalo at 2 and 3. Then you have your next NFC team, the Green Bay Packers, at 4.
That's because Aaron Rodgers.
Because of Aaron Rodgers.
Now, the one I would look at, I'm telling you, the Rams. The Rams are Super Bowl or bust. Considering I think Matthew Stafford's going to have a lot of success, I think Aaron Rodgers would be even a better version opportunity than a Matthew Stafford. No, you look at owners, they all get together, and they all got egos. And then you look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers organization. And it's a copycat league, whether you're running plays or how you're going to run your team. Stan Kroenke, he's looking at Tampa Bay. Why can't we do that with the Rams? So where are the Rams ranked?
Well, hang on. I'm getting to that. So after the Packers at 4, you have two more AFC teams, the Ravens and Browns. And then you find the L.A. Rams.
The Rams are better than that.
Third best team in the NFC right now and 7th overall.
I have the Rams, AFC or NFC, in the top 5. Because I look at their roster. And I think I've always been a Matthew Stafford fan. Now it'll be interesting to see what's going to happen because he can't say I'm playing with the Lions anymore. No, you got a supporting cast. So I think the Rams are undervalued.
Well, interestingly, they're moving up in these power rankings. They had them at 9 previously. So they moved up to 7 with this new addition of the power rankings. And then it's a rung of NFC teams after that to the end of the top 10. The Rams, Seahawks, 49ers, and Saints round out the top 10.
We can hang more with the Seahawks than the 49ers. The reason why the 49ers were not relevant last year, because now you never know what's going to happen in the season because of injuries.
Well, and they had a lot.
Yeah. I mean, they're stud players. I mean, the 49ers are in a win-now mode. The toughest division right now, you know, the NFC South has done that a number of years. The NFC West is beast mode. When you look at where the Seahawks are at, you look where the Rams are at, the 49ers, and the Cardinals are up and coming. No, that to me is the toughest division, but we don't have to deal with them. You know, when we're going to come out with the schedule, the NFL schedule, we'll talk about that. And but whoever's playing the NFC West, that's going to be very challenging when you're out of your division and playing amongst the NFL, how the rotation happens.
Well, it's funny you mentioned the Cardinals. They're actually the next NFC team listed, but they're all the way down at 16.
Yeah, that's about right.
11 through 15 is all AFC teams.
Yeah, they're about the middle of the pack. That's about right for the Cardinals.
But that would put them at 7th in the NFC. That would put them as a playoff team.
So now, if you're a Houdat Nation member, do you think the Saints are getting robbed? The 10, I don't. I think that's about right. You're still in the playoffs. I'd be extremely disappointed if we're not in the playoffs. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to win anything, but we still be very entertaining and in the hunt. And anything can happen in the postseason. But the Saints are that's about right. I think that power ranking having them at 10.
Well, I'm going to take that back. The Cardinals wouldn't be a playoff team because I forgot about the NFC East. So somebody's getting in from there. Where do you think the highest rated NFC East team is, and who do you think it is?
I would say, they always want Dallas to be relevant. They want the Cowgirls to be relevant. So I would say maybe the highest they would be is 12, 13, somewhere around there. The Eagles, to me, are in the embarrassment right now in the NFC East. I like the way the Washington football team is structured, but still, are they going to trust Fitzpatrick for 16 games? I don't think so. Can the Giants be up and coming? I mean, I don't trust Dallas over the New York Giants. I don't trust really any NFC East team, to tell you the truth.
Well, Bobby, you're right about the highest-ranked team. It is the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, they want Dallas to be relevant.
But they're at number 21.
Oh, 21. Whoa, I thought they'd be at least middle of the pack, kind of like the Cardinals.
The Cowboys are at 21, the Giants at 22, Washington at 24, Philadelphia at 25. They're all like in that little bunch right there.
So somebody has to win to make the postseason out of the NFC East.
And right in between them at 23 is the Atlanta Falcons. So they've got them. If the Atlanta Falcons would have a great shot if they were in the NFC East, Bobby, because they're right there with them.
Listen, Atlanta's going to have an offense that could compete with the best of them in the NFL, but their defense is sorry. They're sorry. You cannot be in a game when it's 30-some to 30-some. Like I said, you'd be 500, you might win or you might not win. Listen, I'm a Matt Ryan fan. I think he's going to utilize the tight end. He's done that before with Gonzalez, and now you got Pittman. Pittman. Pitts. That to me, So what if they score high 20s, low 30s? Are they going to give up the same amount?
Well, let me ask you this about the Atlanta Falcons draft, and especially their first pick. Do you think Kyle Pitts at number 4 overall was a complete no-brainer for them, or do you think they should have gone defense and tried to bolster some of that defense?
No, because he's a once-in-a-decade, you talk type talent, generational talent, you always talk about that. If that guy stays healthy, I'm just telling you, you can look at he will be like, not a Falcon Hall of Famer, he'll be a Pro Football Hall of Famer. That is the likes, with Kelsey, the tight end with the 49ers. Mark, help me
George
out
Kittle.
Here. Kittle, yeah. He's on that level already. He hasn't even played. I mean, he is that good. You look at Gonzalez. You look at the pass and what occurred. I think he has that, kind of impact. When you look at the top tight ends in NFL history, I think he'll have that kind of impact, and I know Matt Ryan will know how to distribute the ball to him.
So you're saying New Orleans Saints fans will have someone to boo for a good decade more?
Oh, without a doubt. No, he'll be very successful like Gonzalez was, not only in the Chiefs uniform but Atlanta uniform. Doesn't mean they're going to beat the Saints.
But he'll get heavily booed in the Superdome,
yeah,
no doubt.
Until their defense turns around, Atlanta's not winning anything. I would think more they could be surpassed by Carolina. That's a situation that when you look at the Carolina Panthers, they could be a team that could surprise people. So not necessarily the NFC South is not the NFC West right now, but I could see us turning the corner. A lot of competition for the Saints for the few years to come. And I'm talking about the early 20s.
Well, according to these new power rankings, which, by the way, are from NFL.com, Carolina's sitting at number 28.
Yeah, because they're still building upon. But look, Christian McCaffrey was not healthy. Last year he's like Calvin Kamara. He's actually been more productive. It's like 1 and 1/8. They're both great players. So when you look how Carolina structured, Carolina needs to go back to when their heyday, when they truly won what they did with Luke Kuechly and all that. They had a kick-ass defense. I think they're going to be, you kind of mirror how your coach's mindset is. And Coach Rhule, coming there and Brady. But I think they're going to score. They just got to get their defense very similar to Atlanta if they're truly going to be relevant.
Well, Carolina's had a couple of little renaissance periods over you know, since they were brought into the league back in 1996. Cam Newton obviously was an MVP for them.
Right.
I don't think Sam Darnold is going to be Cam Newton, but do you think Sam Darnold could at least be Jake Delhomme?
Without a doubt. I think he's got more success in Carolina than he did with the Jets because he'll have a better supporting cast. I'm going to be shocked if Sam Darnold does not have success, very Jake Delhomme-like, with Carolina.
Do you think his time in New York has messed with his head a little bit?
I don't know.
We heard the comment where he was talking about he was seeing ghosts out there.
Well, the thing is, you could see ghosts last year as long as you don't see ghosts in the future.
That's what I'm saying. Do you think? Yeah. His time with the Jets has immeasurably hindered him?
Well, you got to be tougher than that. You have to be more mentally tougher than that. I mean, you have to be able to handle adversity. Listen, any NFL quarterback, even if you're great, you got to handle adversity. So I think Sam Darnold, with his character. A new opportunity, and I think he'll take advantage of it. I don't think Sam Darnold is all of a sudden, boy, that was a mistake. I don't think he's Ryan Leaf. I don't think he's a bust. You know, he's taken third overall when you think about with the Jets and how quickly they forget that. And look how, okay, we've seen enough. But you look at Zach Wilson now with the Jets, I think they've given him a better supporting cast than they have with Sam Darnold.
Look, I'm with you. I think Sam Darnold is a good quarterback. I wouldn't have minded seeing him land here in the offseason.
Listen,
the Saints not settled on Jameis.
Without a doubt. I think Sam Darnold would be highly successful under Sean Payton. Compared to, like, the Ian Book, I mean, I think Ian Book can't hold Sam Darnold's jock. Now, Ian Book's going to be one of those, I don't know, he's scrambling, he's making plays and all that. But as far as if you're going to bet on who has future success, I mean – I don't think Ian Book's in Sam Darnold's league.
Well, we know what Joe Brady did at LSU. We know what he did, you know, with Joe Burrow
right.
as quarterback. And Sam Darnold, you'd have to believe, is at least as talented as Joe Burrow, wouldn't you say?
But out of doubt. Now, the thing is, you have to be, again, mentally tough, how you handle adversity. And Joe Burrow, once he got the start, boy, he just took advantage of opportunity, and his confidence is off the chart. It's all about confidence. When you get to this level, all these guys could play. Are you confident or not? Do you give up the ghost, or do you hang in there? And I think Sam Darnold, different environment, considering, I think, with Joe Brady with him, that he will have success. Now, if Carolina can get Aaron Rodgers, I could throw Aaron Rodgers on every team. Then all of that changes. Listen, Aaron Rodgers to me still has that much stroke left.
I think too often we judge quarterbacks solely on wins and losses, when a lot of times a bad situation can be a bad situation no matter what. I think Joe Burrow was in a great situation at LSU and allowed his talents to flourish and allowed him to develop. It allowed him to shine. It allowed him to become a Heisman winner and a number one overall draft pick. And it remains to be seen if he can also accomplish that in the NFL. I don't think the jury's out on him by any stretch of the imagination because of the injury he had last year. I think he's going to have a good career in Cincinnati. I think Sam
right.
Darnold landed in a terrible situation with the New York Jets, especially under Adam Gase, who I think is going to go down as one of the worst coaching hires that we've seen this decade.
Well, when you think of, you bring up Adam Gase, what did he do? God, it slipped my mind, from Texas A&M, the quarterback, and all of a sudden he has success with the Titans. Ryan Tannehill. No, Gase screwed that up.
Right.
I mean, I look at the
he
Broncos.
Parlayed that into the New York Jets head coaching job.
I look at the Broncos roster. I look at the Dolphins roster. I look at the Browns roster. Okay, you look at all their quarterbacks, Tua, Baker Mayfield, and all that. Come on, are they even in the league of Aaron Rodgers? That's why. I mean, I don't know if I've ever witnessed any player in NFL history that has the stroke of Aaron Rodgers. If he'd end up on a team now, and I think if they could work something out, because it looks like they're getting a divorce, or you would think, but the general manager for the Packers, he's panicking, and even Murphy, Mark Murphy, the president, that they know Jordan Love's not ready to play. If they thought Jordan Love was ready to play, they might be dealing Aaron Rodgers. But Aaron Rodgers, I still think that he can control whether you get traded or not and what team. Now, he wants to go west. Wouldn't you want to go to a winning organization? What I mean by winning organization, a winning roster right now. The Browns haven't really won anything. The Dolphins haven't won anything. But you look at their roster going forward in the future. I think the Broncos with Vic Fangio are one of those teams also.
He's Bobby Hebert. I'm Mark Menard. A lot more sports talk on the way. We're just getting started here. And after the break, we're going to bring in Kyle Peterson of the SEC Network. We're going to break down LSU baseball's chances in the coming weekend and also take a look at what the other schools in Louisiana are doing and their playoff hopes as well. It could be a very robust year in the playoffs in college baseball for the state of Louisiana. We'll talk about it all with Kyle Peterson when we come back from this break. It's Sports Talk on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk on WWL. I'm Mark Menard, in for Christian Garrick, alongside Bobby Hebert. And we're going to bring into the conversation Kyle Peterson from the ESPN and the SEC Network covering college baseball. Kyle, how are you today?
I'm well, guys. How are you?
We're doing well, and you know, the first question we got to ask, of course, we're one of the flagship stations here for LSU and LSU baseball, and they took one out of three from Arkansas over the weekend. How much did that bolster the Tigers' playoff chances?
I mean, I don't know that it bolstered it a whole lot. I don't know that winning one on a weekend is going to help you a lot. I mean, they got some work to do. It's a weird year, you know? I mean, we've got the RPI out there, and LSU's in a pretty good spot from an RPI standpoint, but the problem is, if you just look historically, you got to win 13 in this league to really have any decent chance to get in. 14, you got a pretty good chance. 15, historically, you're in. And there's more to do. Now, schedule plays into their favor. They go to Auburn, which Auburn's not a bad team, man, especially offensively. They looked a lot different last weekend. They host an Alabama team that, as of right now, would be a postseason team. Then they go to A&M. It has not been very good this year. So it ends right if you're LSU, but they're not in an ideal spot right now.
Now, you know, Kyle, with that being said, and you talk about the RPI, over the past 7 weeks, I'm looking at the LSU Tigers played six teams ranked in the top 10. You know, you can look at different outlets, but still, that's impressive, six teams ranked in the top 10. And would you say that if not the LSU Tigers, then they'd be in the conversation and have played the nation's most difficult schedule? Now, you still got to get the results in a positive way where you're winning. But I looked at it, boy, if they can win at least one game against the number one team, that being the Arkansas Razorbacks, in theory, the schedule does get easier. You know, you talked about Alabama, where they're at. But three currently unranked teams, Auburn, Alabama, Texas A&M, now, you go to Auburn and A&M, they're tied for last right now in the SEC West. So look at this scenario before the SEC tournament. So in theory now, if we would sweep Auburn or we would sweep A&M and then win a series like win a couple of games against Alabama or maybe a couple of games against A&M and Auburn, or maybe you would sweep A&M and Auburn, is it still maybe what they do in the SEC tournament to put them in the postseason?
Yeah, I mean, it could. I mean, these are the numbers historically. So, I mean, if you win 12 SEC games during the course of the season, 2% of the time that team gets in the postseason. If you win 13 in the regular season, they get in 36% of the time. If you win 14, it's 61. If you win 15, it's 76. If you win 16, you're in every year. So that's the math right now that I think if you want to take Hoover out of the equation, the math is really getting to 14. If you get to 13, you get a fighting chance, especially with what that strength of schedule is. If you get to 14, historically, you got a better than 75% chance that you're going to get in. And to your point, LSU in the past has played pretty darn well at Hoover the times that I can remember. I mean,
right.
More times.
And, you know, Kyle has been the pulmonary tournament.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, listen, guys, I know this isn't the way they want it, but it may have to be this year. I mean, it may be a deal because, if they go 6-3, 13 wins, okay. I mean, you're in the discussion, but you're definitely not – you're not absolutely at the dance. If you can go down to Hoover and win 3 or 4, it changes that narrative pretty quick.
Now, you know, Kyle, is Arkansas the real deal? Because you look at the SEC, Vanderbilt, you look top to bottom preseason before it even started playing baseball, when the SEC all of a sudden has like 6 maybe out of the top 10 – so who's living up to expectations? Would you say is Arkansas the top dog considering where they rank out of the SEC, or who's maybe one SEC team that you're watching on the back end that might surprise people?
Well, I mean, Arkansas is the best team in the country for me.
Okay.
I think offensively, I mean, they can do some things offensively that I'm not sure if anybody else in the country can. If there's any questions with Arkansas, it's just how consistently they pitch. But offensively, defensively, I mean, they're strong up the middle. There's not a lot of holes with Arkansas. Who would be a surprise? I tell you what, Alabama could be. I mean, offensively starting to come around. I think they're going to get their main arms back over the course of the weekend, which they get. If they get Connor Prelip back, who's going to be a first-round pick next year, I mean, that's like that trade deadline deal that you see in the big leagues. It changes a team significantly. If Alabama gets Prelip back, that could be one that could surprise some people, both from here on out and potentially in the postseason.
Now, you know, Kyle, this had to bode well for Coach Maneri, considering it seemed like they had no chance with that third starter. Now, Hilliard, all of a sudden, a quality start in his final game of the series, his first weekend starts, and you got to go back to 2019. He allowed one run over five innings. We all know the debacle of LSU's bullpen. But when you look at LSU, they've lost three straight series finals, and they finally pieced it together and come away with a win. Do you think that's realistic that they could sweep like an Auburn Tiger team or Texas A&M?
Yeah, I mean, could they? Sure. I'm going to tell you, man, I think Auburn's a hell of a lot better than the record looks. I'll tell you.
Okay,
that.
I got you.
I mean, when you go look at I think Auburn's lost six or seven one-run games in the league. So some of it has been a little bit of bad racing luck. But offensively, Auburn will surprise you offensively. They can swing it, and they're starting to get more healthy on the mound. And they're coming off their first series win. So, but, yeah, of course. I mean, I think the reality is I wouldn't say anybody can sweep anybody in this league. That it's not quite that simplistic. But
right.
Plus, you've got enough dudes. But yeah, I mean, if they play great any weekend, they could sweep any of the teams that they have coming up. But, you know, would you make them an overall favorite when they go to Auburn? To me, that's a 50-50 series. 50-50 series probably against Alabama. And I would tell you, I think they're favored when they go to A&M. A&M's not a great baseball team.
Now, Kyle, LSU is not the only game in town by a long shot this season with the season they're having. Louisiana Tech is ranked by D1Baseball.com right now at number 14 in the nation, and they're projected as of right now to host a regional. You've also got Tulane possibly qualifying here for the postseason. What have you seen out of these two teams? You know, what do you like about the Bulldogs and the Green Wave?
Man, I mean, from afar – and I watched a little bit of Louisiana Tech this year. First of all, the setting against Arkansas looked phenomenal in Ruston. But they were the first team in the country to beat Arkansas. Arkansas was undefeated. They beat them on a Sunday. And then they beat Ole Miss that Tuesday, and they ended up canceling the Wednesday. They thumped Ole Miss, too. I think they beat them 12 or 13-1 on that Tuesday. And they swept Tulane. So it's a team that, depending how they finish, Louisiana Tech's got a chance to host. I think, 15-6 in the league right now. And that league, Conference USA, is a very good baseball league this year when you look at it top to bottom. And for Tulane, I mean, really, it's been the last 3 weeks to where they've totally –
they're on fire.
Yeah, I mean, that's totally changed what their season's been. I'm happy for Travis, too. I mean, I got to know Travis Jewett when he was at Vanderbilt some and years ago, I actually took a recruiting trip to Tulane, but that's a story for a different day. But it's good to see them starting to play well because, you know, it's put them in a position to where they go to East Carolina this weekend. They went 3 out of 4 this weekend at East Carolina. I mean, unless something crazy happens the back 2 weeks of the season, they're in the tournament. And that's – I mean, you're playing a top-10 team this weekend on the road with a chance to lead the conference. So both of them, I think, have put themselves in very good spots.
Now, hang on, Bobby. We're going to have Coach Jewett on later tonight. Well, we can tell him hi for you if you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see if he acknowledges that he knows me. I'm not sure. But yeah,
the whole recruiting process. But, Kyle, one last thing before we let you run. You look at baseball programs across the country, and to me, I look where East Carolina and Tulane's at. They're way ahead of the rest of the conference. You look at the American Athletic Conference. Now, East Carolina – probably the best program, what I've witnessed in recent years, to never reach the College World Series. I mean, I'm looking at, you know, this is pre-pandemic. They were like 20-4. They started 9-0 this season. So when you look at, boy, talk about a challenging atmosphere for the when you go and play the East Carolina Pirates. They really appreciate baseball, but they've never – I was surprised with that. They never reached the College World Series because they've hosted regionals and all that kind of stuff, but never got to the big dance.
No, they've been close. I agree with you. I think it's one of those teams that you look at as being the next one that does it. I thought – I mean, Duke hasn't had a great year this year, but Duke played in back-to-back supers, didn't get there. But, I mean, you know, you got a former LSU assistant. You got Cliff Godwin running the show down there, and he went back to his alma mater, and he's done a hell of a job. I mean, they're year in and year out. East Carolina is a top 20 team for sure, but they're knocking on the door to host, and they're in the exact same spot again this weekend. That's why it's such a big weekend for Tulane. If you can go down there and win 3 out of 4, especially where East Carolina has been the entire season from a ranking standpoint,
right?
That's a even a split. I mean, a split is not a bad weekend if you go down there.
Kyle Pegersen, ESPN and the SEC Network, thank you so much for the insight. We appreciate it.
All right, fellas, have a good night.
Thanks, Kyle.
He's Bobby Hebert. I'm Mark Menard. More sports talk coming up after the break. Stay tuned. This is WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk on WWL. I'm Mark Menard in for Christian Garrick alongside Bobby Hebert. And we're asking you, NFL.com has their new power rankings out since post-draft weekend here, and they have the Saints dropping from 6th to 10th. Are the Saints at number 10 heading into the 2021 season? Is that too high, too low, or do you think that's just about right? Weigh in on the Oakland Heart Talk and Text line, 504-260-1870. That's 504-260-1870.
I thought we should have been number 10 before the draft. So we were at number 6 before the draft?
At number 6 before the draft.
Let me tell you why. What went down with Marshawn Lattimore and his availability to kick off the season? Is it suspended 2 games, 4 games? What's going to come about? And Jackrabbit not being available. So you look at Kwon Alexander, torn Achilles. Our defense was so dominant on the back end of the season, the last 9 games. We were either number 1 or number 2 in every category. Come on, shame on the Saints if we didn't win. It was Dome Patrol-like. We were giving up, Dennis Allen, like 15.5 points a game. So, to me, you might say, well, next man up. Yeah, that, who in the hell's the next man? That does make a difference. I think the roster and where we're at, I looked at last year. That's why I said Super Bowl or bust. Mm-hmm. If you look at everybody, every position, where was the weak link on the Saints roster? Now, you could say Michael Thomas getting hurt, that didn't help a wide receiver. But when you look at offense and defense, no. We had the plug and play. We had the players. It was out of reach. Because when we got Kwon Alexander, I'm not talking about the beginning of the year. We were disappointing defensively at the beginning of the year. But where we were, like when Kwon Alexander got hurt, and then I look at our whole secondary and where we're at. I look at all the positions. We were like, listen, no, we as good as any Super Bowl contender. But right now, how can you say that at the cornerback position? How can you say that about the linebacker position? I mean, and now you look at the defensive line. How can you say that about the defensive line? We don't have Malcolm Brown. We don't have Sheldon Rankins. We hope Davenport succeeds. We don't have Trey Hendrickson. So, no, that's why you got questions. So, to me, I would have put the Saints 10 before the draft, and I'd still have them at 10. We were at number 6. That's because of Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis and the old Saints organization. Because I thought pre-draft, post-draft, we're still about number 10. Because what is Jameis Winston going to do? I don't know. Taysom Hill, the combination 1-2 quarterback. What are they going to do? I don't know.
Look, there's no doubt that the Saints have a ton of question marks all over the field heading into training camp, especially on defense. But as you said, even at the quarterback position.
Yes. Listen, you want them to work out and play at a high level. Drew Brees brought stability. You might say, well, can he really push the ball down the field? But it's how he was a field general and ran the team. And you look, we had Latavius Murray. We had Alvin Kamara. So I wasn't worried about the running game. I look at offensive line. I was very confident in offensive line. You know, it was kind of a weak link. I think he's going to build upon what he did last year.
Cesar Ruiz.
And Drew Brees got hurt when that big 49, 300-pounder slammed him.
Well, look, I think on offense, I think the offensive line is stable.
I'm not worried about the offensive line. I think we can still dominate kick ass on the offensive line.
You're bringing back all five guys.
Now, D-line, I don't know.
I think that there might be a shift with McCoy and Ruiz switching from guard to
right,
center.
That makes
but
sense.
But otherwise, you've got, you know, all five of them are all coming back. I don't think that's a problem. You've still got Alvin Kamara in the backfield. You've still got Michael Thomas. And, by the way, I think they have some very good receivers that are young, that are up and coming. I think Tre'Quan Smith is ready to take a step forward.
Is he better than Callaway, though,
well,
Mark?
No, but I was going to say, I really like Marquez Callaway. I think if Marquez Callaway doesn't get hurt last year, he finishes the year really strong, and we are talking about him as being the solid number two receiver going into this season.
Well, and you think about it, a free agent. Free agent acquisition. Now, you know who else has to step up? Now, I know he just started playing because we get Spall with the tight end position.
Adam Troutman. I think he will.
Okay, so what is he going to do?
I think he will step up. We saw some nice things from him towards the end of the season. And you got to remember, there was a lot of upheaval in that lineup at quarterback because of the Drew Brees injury. Taysom Hill going into the game, coming back out of the game and putting Drew back, but Drew not being 100%. And look, Taysom... The jury wasn't real favorable to him either in terms of his performance. He got three wins, but it was two against Atlanta and one against a Denver team that didn't have a quarterback. So I certainly wasn't sold on Taysom Hill as a starting quarterback after what I saw last year, and that's why I've kind of put myself behind. I think, you know, Jameis Winston needs a shot.
Hey, listen, Taysom Hill, don't feel sorry for Taysom Hill. Oh, I want to be an NFL quarterback. He's making like $11 million. What, to be a Swiss Army knife, a jack of all trades? He hit the lottery in the NFL? Come on, listen, I'm the biggest Taysom Hill fan. I say use him like we've used him in the past, maybe a few more snaps. I don't know, instead of a dozen snaps, maybe you get a dozen and a half, and just be aggressive. Ain't no hook sliding going out of bounds. Taysom, keep playing like you've been playing.
Bobby Hebert, Mark Menard, more sports talk after this. Coming up, two more hours of Sports Talk and the Paul Mainieri Show all on the way for you. This is WWL. Don't go anywhere.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!